Hello, this is Peter Woolfolk. First, let me say thank you so much for being a listener. Now, I want to alert you to our shiny new podcast website located at podpage.com. However, you can go directly to the podcast site located at www.publicrelationsreviewpodcast.com. There, you can contact me through email. You can leave a voice message. You can leave a review. You can read an episode blog and frequently learn about the podcast guests. You might also want to suggest podcast topic ideas or even suggest a guest. You can also let me know if you would like to receive our podcast listener logo that you can post on your social media. So I look forward to hearing from you about our new podcast website, www.publicrelationsreviewpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening to the Public Relations Review Podcast, and have a great day.
Welcome. This is the Public Relations Review Podcast, a program to discuss the many facets of public relations with seasoned professionals, educators, authors, and others. Now, here is your host, Peter Woolfolk.
Welcome to the Public Relations Review Podcast and to our listeners all across America and around the world. This podcast is now ranked by Apple as being among the top 1% of podcasts worldwide. So thank you to all of our guests and listeners for making this happen. Now, question. Artificial intelligence has now become an integral component of public relations. There's text-to-speech, ChatGPT, Gemini, avatars and video. They're just a few. Are there rules and regulations we should be aware of when using this technology? Well, my guests today say under some circumstances that answer is yes. First, there's Michelle Egan, APR and fellow APR, and she joins us from Anchorage, Alaska. And there's Dr. Casey Myers, AP and JD, and he joins us from Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Okay.
Yes, well, thank you, Peter.
Well, let me just say this now, that I certainly use artificial intelligence in certain products here in my podcast. As it produces my transcripts for me. It writes blogs. It even gives me 5 titles that I can use on the podcast, and I can choose to use them or change them or whatever. And I've also used some text-to-speech on several episodes. And I use the AI avatar videos to promote each individual episode. So basically, what are the concerns that PRSA has with AI in public relations?
Well, I'm glad you had us on to talk about this issue, Peter. Casey and I are both members of the board of PRSA, and last year, I was chair and Casey was the liaison to our Board of Ethics and Professional Standards. And that group, BEPS, we call it, worked on some guidance for professionals who are using AI. We're excited about it. We love the creativity of it. And we want to make sure that people are paying attention to the ethical guidance that comes from our Code of Ethics. And that really touches on things like disclosure about the use of AI, doing your own research, making sure that you avoid any conflicts of interest and that you're verifying what you're using. So all those things come into a guidance document that Casey worked on and we released last year that's available to everyone, member or not. So when you're using AI, experimenting with it, employing it in your business, you have some guidance about what to look out for and how to use it in the most effective way. One of the things that I noticed last year when I was speaking as chair of PRSA is early in the year, we would ask, how many of you are using ChatGPT or a similar tool? And you just get like some real reluctant, 2 or 3 real reluctant hands go up in the audience. And then by the end of the year, you get, quite a few. And people would say to me, it kind of feels like cheating. Right? That's what they would say about using a tool like ChatGPT or any of the others that we talk about. And giving people a framework helps them to use the tools and then not feel so much like maybe it's inappropriate. The other thing that I think is really important that people could use as a resource is a recent publication that PRSA did on mis and disinformation. And that is such a huge issue in our society. And in fact, the 2024 World Economic Global Risks Report puts mis and disinformation at the very top of global risks, above climate change, polarization, all the other things that you typically think of. And that's because when it's fueled by AI, the propensity for mis and disinformation to proliferate at scale is really great. So we've got a couple things out there from PRSA, I think, that are interesting to members and non-members, and also help kind of provide some guidance. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to let Casey talk a little bit more about this, because he's got some real deep expertise in this area.
Let me just say this, because in terms of disclosure, I guess maybe we might need some help there. Is that, you know, what sort of disclosure are we talking about? So, for instance, I use ChatGPT. For instance, I might say, write down something like, give me a brief outline for identifying A, B, C, and D, and whatever those elements are, and it will provide me that. I will then take a look at it, and then I'll make any adjustments or adjustments and modifications that I need that fit, that help me be more precise about what it is I want to say. So sometimes I use it as a guideline rather than me trying to think of everything, and sometimes it gives me some ideas I hadn't thought about. So I guess we might need some help on what disclosure is. I mean, disinformation, I certainly understand that, but so that's one thing I would have some questions about. How does one look at the use of it in that fashion?
It's a great question, because it is going to be a decision that has to be made by the PR practitioner of what they're going to disclose, right? There's not a law that's going to mandate a certain level of disclosure. Now, that may come, and that may be something that you may see that in a kind of work product, particularly around visuals, where there is maybe watermarking that comes on visual AI content.
Right.
There are some disclosures that are mandated in the use of AI for communications for political advertising. We've seen that kind of the concern out of disinformation in the 2024, campaigns, right, presidential year. Globally, there's a concern around that.
Right.
So the disclosure there is mandated, but in the day-to-day operations of public relations, that is going to be an individualized decision. Now, there are people that will say you should disclose because that's transparent. There's transparency in disclosure, and the insidious nature of disinformation is that people can't tell what's real and what's fake, and you have to be honest with your audiences. But there are others who will say AI is a tool. I use it as a tool. I don't use it as a substitute for my own work product. I use it as a tool to enhance my work product to help me complete tasks. Mm-hmm. So just like what you were mentioning, menial tasks like creating a check sheet, brainstorming, etc., would you necessarily disclose that that's been part of your process? And I think that's a very individualized decision that has to be made by practitioners. But it is something that increasingly is the number one question that I get. Mm-hmm. What do we do with AI and disclosure? And I think that ultimately what's going to happen is that we as an industry, as a public relations industry, have a lot of power right now, because we don't have a legal mandate on disclosure in most circumstances. We have to make that decision for ourselves as professionals. And I think that there's a lot of things to weigh in that decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting.
And Casey, I think you've probably heard this as well. I've talked to people who work in public relations agencies, and one of the things they're doing is putting in their contracts a disclosure, a general disclosure, that we may occasionally use AI in working on a product. And that's one way people are addressing it. But Casey's right. There's, with any other ethics issue, there's a lot of personal latitude. And what you described, again, is making your work better or giving you the space to use your brain for more powerful things than creating a checklist or, doing a small amount of research. And so it's a little bit different than a mis and disinformation type campaign. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, one of the other things that Casey just mentioned is that the little mark that goes on the avatars. I use the free version, and that comes with it. So, you know, it's mm-hmm. only something about a minute, mm-hmm. a minute and a half to say, you know, here's what we're going to be covering in our next episode, that sort of thing. And the little trademark or whatever it is down in the lower corner that does not come up. So that's really just advertising the fact that we're going to have this podcast episode, and this is what we're going to be talking about, that sort of thing. And I can certainly see, as a matter of fact, it has been shown on television where some very prominent people have the misinformation because it did look like, it was them, but they were saying words that they never uttered. So I can see what that can cause and will cause a huge, massive amount of problems because that is information at the highest, misinformation at the highest levels that we do not need to have.
Mm-hmm. Let me just jump in here real quick about that. The issue really is that we as PR practitioners want to be ethical. We want to do the right thing.
Right.
The disinformation that's out there, those people will never disclose if mm-hmm. they can get away with it because they're bad actors. They want to produce content that is meant to deceive. You take, for instance, voice cloning. There are thousands of scams that use voice cloning
right.
to get people to send other people money. It sounds like your daughter's calling you. She's been kidnapped. You need to pay a ransom or something. It sounds like her because they only need a few seconds of audio to voice clone.
Mm-hmm.
And so those folks aren't going to disclose because they're bad actors. Now, we in the PR industry aren't in the disinformation business. We're in the transparent communication business, and we want to uphold our professional ethics at the highest level. But it does beg a question of what level of disclosure is required. So, for instance, let's say a lot of folks, they're using AI to edit. They're using AI to kind of do what normally Photoshop would maybe do for a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Does that need to be disclosed to the public? You could give a general disclosure, but then again, we don't disclose a lot of things that we use, like, for instance, if you use Grammarly or spell check, that's not disclosed.
Mm-hmm.
If you use a template that's already pre-existing in Microsoft, you don't necessarily disclose that. So there's a counterpoint to it of like, well, how small does the use of AI have to be before you don't disclose? And I think that's something that's going to be very individualized. I think that the industry doesn't have an answer for that quite yet.
Would the response to that or an answer to that have to be, you know, how much does it impact someone else making a decision if they know that you did it or compared to AI had done it? Should if what they are producing for you, you have to make a decision on whether to or not to accept it. I would think that whether they mm-hmm. use or did not use AI would be almost imperative to let them know.
I think that's a great point. I think that's 100% correct. And I, you know, it used to be, just give you an example with these deepfakes, used to be you'd hear the saying, seeing is believing. Well, now you can't believe what you see, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to individually check it. So I think at the point that you're creating different realities for other people and informing their perception of the world, and AI has a big part of that, then yeah, I would say that goes beyond the menial use of AI for just sort of functionary tasks, but goes and you're using AI to actually create dialogue within society that may have a huge resonance. So absolutely.
And our guidance suggests that you are responsible for the information that you disseminate. So mm-hmm. you're responsible to validate that it's accurate, to make sure that the sources are checked, that those sources are disclosed wherever possible. So, you know, it really is part of the guidance as well to say, you, at the end of the day, use these tools and you're still responsible for the information that you're sharing.
Mm-hmm. I guess my question from that is that it's more imperative to be forthright about whether you did or did not use AI if it is being used to help someone make a decision, and particularly if they're paying you for that. But if it's someone making a decision based on what you produce using some form of artificial intelligence, it should be imperative that AI be revealed that it was used in this development process. Is that close to what it is that we're trying to get done here?
I think that's an interesting way to frame it. So you are getting at the point of what is the tool being used for? What is the information being used for? So mm-hmm. I think that would be a good guideline. Casey?
I think what you're getting at there is whether or not the tool is used in a way that is going to have massive impact on the person receiving the content. And if you're going to receive content and the tool is used in a way that's going to have impact and shape their opinion, then you should disclose that.
Okay.
I would go a step further and say that also when you are using AI to process information, you have to be very careful that you're not overly reliant on that AI.
Mm-hmm.
Because AI is a tool, right? Like, just like spell check is a tool, just like the internet is a tool. Like, you know, and they have a lot of things that they get right. They have a lot of things that get wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gets to the kind of larger question a lot of PR practitioners will ask me out on the road. They'll say, well, you know, this is just going to take our job. Well, if you're operating your job in a way where you can just AI can do it, then maybe you're very replaceable.
Right.
But if you're operating your job, where, you know, you bring a lot of talent, a lot of insight, a lot of knowledge, mm-hmm. you're able to strategize, and AI is just part of your toolkit, then I don't think that AI can replace that person, because that person's got value added by what they know and what they can do. Because an AI brain and a human brain works totally differently. And so we bring value as an industry when we bring ourselves into that conversation and ourselves into our work product to ensure that it's going to be something that really is honest, transparent, forthright, and also effective.
You know what?
I was just at a financial services.
Go ahead.
I was just at a financial services conference. Yeah, this conference I was just at, one of the speakers was, of course, speaking about AI. She was a former Google decision architect. And she used this great metaphor. Imagine you have a 1,000-page book, and you've read the book, and so you understand the storyline, all the research that's in it, all the context of what's been written, and then you are provided with a one-page summary. So the AI is creating a one-page summary. That one-page summary cannot capture all of the context, all of the background, all of mm-hmm. the information that's in there. Can it be helpful? Absolutely. But the PR practitioner or whoever the responsible user of AI is has consumed the book, right, and can convey the context and all of the information that goes into the one-page summary. So I think that's a powerful way to think about our role.
You know, the other thing I think about as I listen to that is that, you know, we have experience in a lot of different things. And sometimes as we're putting together a project or trying to resolve some issues, our experience kicks in to say, hey, you know, based on my experience, I think we should do A, B, C, and D. Well, a lot of times I would perhaps maybe AI does not have the same experience and they can't make that sort of contribution, you know, based on what information has been put into it to respond with. So I think what you just said earlier about having a 1,000-page book and a one-page description helps answer that question.
I tell a lot of folks when we're talking about AI is that AI is based on an algorithm with data points that are entered.
Mm-hmm.
AI is only going to be limited in its response based on those data points
right.
and on its algorithm.
Right.
That's why it's so important to have a good AI platform, because it can be very biased. But as a human being, we have experiences, you know, we have thoughts, we have identity, we have engagement with other people. We may go get a cup of coffee, we may go get drinks after work, we may go chat with somebody in the hallway. We've worked for however many years in our business, and that provides our foundation for our decision making.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a gut check. AI doesn't have that. It only has the algorithm and the data in which it's going to crawl. So.
Right.
It, you know, our intuition, that is how a lot of decisions are made. And subsequently, studies show that that intuition and experience and being able to make decisions like that very fast is typically the way to make a right decision.
Right.
So you can't discount the human being. That's always gets me with folks saying, oh, AI take over. You can't discount the human, because the human being brings so much more to the table.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the very point that I was trying to make, you know, based on, as I call it, experience, what has worked and what might not work because I've actually been through it. So I know the answer to that particular question.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Casey to share what some of the top issues are that he hears about, because he's out speaking and in a university and very much engaged, you know, with lots of folks who have questions about AI. I know there are other issues besides the disclosure. One of them, I'll say from my perspective in my professional practice, is safeguarding confidences. So I work for an oil and gas company. I cannot put my company's information into a tool and ask it to summarize something for me create new information unless I am absolutely sure that that information is not going to be shared, you know, beyond the company. And I don't have anything that provides me that assurance now. And so it's, you know, I'm not able to use AI, if you think about ChatGPT or one of those other, one of the other tools that Microsoft offers, like Copilot, I have to have the assurance that the information I'm sharing is not going to create a threat for the company in terms of like a cybersecurity threat or an operational threat. So I know that's one big issue that I face that is addressed in our PRSA guidance, just to make sure that you have a responsibility, whether it's your employer or your client, to protect their information. And so, you know, you have to beware of where you're putting the information and what's being done with it.
So I tell people this. You know, you think about AI privacy like a door. You know, the door can be shut and it can be in various stages of open, right? And it can be fully open. And so you have to understand the platform, particularly in generative AI, when you're inputting data, if that data is going to be absorbed into the platform itself. So for instance, let's say that I was going to create some sort of payroll structure using AI, and I put everybody's social security number on my AI query and had them organize it, you know, that could absorb those numbers, absorb that identifying information. That's one of the reasons why a lot of hospitals and a lot of medical PR people are more reluctant, I think, to use AI because of HIPAA concerns. And so a lot of folks have turned toward these proprietary platforms because they want to have the security of their information not being taken, and they have privacy violations. There's also a competitive aspect to it, whereas if I put in a query and it gets me an output based on my query, that output could be available to a competitor if they put in a similar query. And so therefore, I kind of lose a competitive edge. So privacy is a big thing within AI. You have to be deliberative. And I think that we right now are not in a space. We know it's important, but we haven't talked about that open versus closed system AI, I think, enough in the industry to really understand what does that mean in terms of just safeguarding our clients, safeguarding our people that we're communicating with, their information, and certainly proprietary information of a company if you're in-house, very important.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a very interesting conversation. Is there anything that we've actually missed in this discussion?
It's been a good overview of the issues. I would definitely encourage people to go to prsa.org. We have some very thought-provoking information there about AI. There's a flash page with lots of content and access to webinars and whatnot, and to this guidance. And much of it is available to anyone. So happy to be a resource on this. Have the organization be a resource on AI and on mis and disinformation.
Well, I'm actually very happy that you said that, because that's one of the things I did want to say, that you let us know about the information and materials that are available. I'm sorry, Case, pick up before you.
I was just going to say to your listeners that, you know, AI can be daunting, and there's a lot that is going to change. You know, if we came back a year from now and had this conversation, it'd be a different conversation. Because, I mean, if we came back a month from now, it may be a different conversation because it's a rapidly evolving technology. But for those in PR that are looking to get into this conversation and want to use AI, what they need to do is they need to just try it out, low stakes, get on a free platform, just see what its capabilities are, and it'll give you a better sense. It's like learning how to drive a car from reading a book versus getting in there and putting the keys in the ignition. You put the keys in the ignition and you get it on the road, you'll learn a lot more. So I think there's a lot of positives for AI. There's a lot of positives for PR industry. With it, and I think that we ultimately can do a lot more meaningful and better work with it. And so I welcome it as a opportunity for us.
Well, let me say that I welcome both of you from having been a guest on our show today, because you've really given me a lot to think about. There are some things that I had not thought about when it comes to the use of AI, and perhaps the same might be for our audience. So I want to say thank you to both of you, Michelle Egan up there in Anchorage, Alaska, and Casey Myers, Blacksburg, Virginia, for being guests on our show today. Any closing remarks that maybe you forgot and you'd like to make now?
Oh, I just want to say thank you, Peter. This has been fantastic, and I'm really glad to be able to engage with your listeners in this way.
Yes, thank you, Peter. Happy to talk and really enjoyed our conversation.
Well, let me say thank you, because I think that you have brought some information that perhaps a lot of our listeners might not have been aware of. It has enlightened them quite a bit. I certainly learned a bit myself. So I want to say, as I said once before, thank you so much to Michelle, Casey, for being our guest today. And to my listeners, certainly if you've enjoyed the show, we'd like to get a review from you. And, of course, let me say that we have a brand new spiffy newsletter. You can get directly to it at www.publicrelationsreviewpodcast.com. And also, always let your friends know that you were listening. And please join us for the next edition of the Public Relations Review Podcast.
This podcast is produced by Communication Strategies, an award-winning public relations and public affairs firm headquartered in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, this is Peter Woolfolk speaking. Now, first of all, thank you so very much for listening to the podcast. Now, I am very excited to let you know that the podcast is now available on Amazon Alexa. You know the drill. Simply say, Alexa, play Public Relations Review Podcast, and she'll take it from there. And again, thank you for listening. And if you enjoy the program, please become a subscriber. Now, on to the podcast.